Welcome to the Joe and Madison Radio Hour. We're going to start your morning off right with a little ditty that I like to call Waiting. Waiting. Waiting for Joe to heat up her coffee. Joe likes a hot cup of Joe, and yet here I sit waiting for her to come back with her hot coffee. Waiting. Waiting for her to
come back. I'm here.
Good.
My coffee is hot and I'm ready to go. I wonder if you'll be able to hear Pip
tearing up
mutilating cardboard.
Well, hey, if the listeners last week didn't hear the thunderstorm, maybe we can get away with a little bit of cardboard.
That means our microphones are doing their job.
I like it when things do their job.
Me too. Like kid program directors.
Oh.
I'm kidding. You always do your job.
Oh, that reminds me that I had a nightmare that you fired me because I fell asleep on my job.
If you fell asleep on the job, just so you know in the future.
Okay.
If you were falling asleep on the job, I wouldn't fire you. Yeah. I would say, Madison, do you need Sonic?
Are you okay?
Hang on. Ignore the sound. I feel like my microphone is too low.
Ooh, does that sound better? I know. I was trying to put on my radio voice. I often do that for my friends when I'm navigating. I was like, What voice would you like me to give you your directions in today? And they're like, ooh, give me the smooth radio voice. I was like, got it.
Do you use a smooth radio voice on the podcast?
No. Because
I think we pretty much use our normal voices on the podcast.
When I definitely have a phone voice, though. When I talk to people, like answer the phone for make do.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very professional, clean voice.
Yeah. I think everyone has that. I have a family voice. Faux show.
A family voice? Mm-hmm. Is it casual, like what's it like?
You've heard it. Will have heard me talking on the phone to my
Oh, okay. So if family. I had to mimic it, it would be like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah, maybe like kind of like that.
And
hi
daddy, how's it going?
Yeah, but whenever I answer and it's Mooley, I always say hello lady.
Yes, that's when you whip out the smooth radio voice.
That comes from, we have a video of me probably, I was maybe six, mm-hmm. and we're playing outside in the bed of my dad's truck, and Mooley comes outside and is talking to me, and I turn around and I go, listen, lady. To her. And she says that I said that to her a lot, like I would say. So I must have gotten it from somewhere, but I don't remember going through a lady phase, but because of that video,
That's how you say
lady.
Lady.
Yeah. Tosse. Hey, lady.
All right. I think.
You ready? Did you have something else you wanted to say?
Oh, I was just going to say, I think that leads us into a really good place in the podcast, talking about you and your family and Mooley.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's hop into it.
This is Be Createful, a podcast about finding fullness through creativity. I'm Joe.
And I'm Madison. And today on episode 75,
we are 3/4 of a century over here, y'all.
On episode 75, we're talking about what's in a name, naming and creativity.
Yeah, this will be fascinating, I think.
Because this one started off also in my dream, but also
Okay, I will say Madison came to me yesterday and she goes, well, I have like, before you fired me, I had an idea for a podcast, but yes. It might be kind of obscure.
Yes. So it was based on an interaction I had with a kid. I was teaching sewing class and the kid goes, why do you name all of your sewing machines? Which if you listen to the podcast before, people sponsored these sewing machines and often named them after grandmothers or some other, we have Han Solo.
Yeah.
Anyways, I explained that to the kid and they're like, that's weird. And I said, well, you know who else really likes to name things? Joe does. And they're like, what? And so I explained a couple things of how you and your family like to name objects, parts of your body.
I forgot about that.
Or like even naming like situations, like you have code words and things.
Yes.
And he, like, the look on the kid's face was just like, what? And I just thought, what an interesting creative exercise to like name things.
Yeah.
Cause I think your family is like a very extreme example. Most people name their cars.
Right.
Or like, I've named my sewing machine, like tools that are close to you that you use every day.
Yeah.
So I just thought, what an interesting way to explore creativity through naming.
Yeah. I forgot we named body parts.
Well, okay. That sounds really, perhaps more inappropriate, but it's not. There's like innocuous body parts.
Right.
That you named.
It started when my sister had just had a baby. She was still in the hospital and I had a dream. And was like something about when was she and Dylan going home or so, I don't remember. And she was like, who's Dylan? And I was like, your postpartum belly. So, now we call that her Dylan, and I named my belly Ryan. And so whenever I go home, Ryan and Dylan will say hi to each other. And, usually give each other a hug or a little kiss. And Molly, her baby, her belly is named Agnes.
You know, I knew
Agnes
someone.
Agnes is the cutest belly.
Yeah, that is very cute. I knew someone who, when they like had a food baby or like significant gas, they were like, oh yeah, this is Gaston.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does make me, I guess, like why it's important is that it makes me treat that thing, in this instance, my belly, as like something. It like gives me empathy and connection. And
because you're naming it after a human, essentially.
Yeah.
It's the same way with our machines. When I say, oh, yeah, Babs is acting up again, the kids are like, well, it's a machine. It doesn't really. And I'm like, I know that. But it's a fun way to kind of think about something, to have connection with something. Yeah, I mean, people name their dogs like their pets after, you know, different things that are important to them or things that they like.
I think that naming our pets feels a little bit more normal. One, everyone does it. And also it's like something that you need to be able to call.
Yeah, it's a necessary
when
creative act.
My sisters and I were hiking the John Muir Trail, we named almost all of our gear, like all the gear we shared. My backpack didn't have a name. Like I didn't name my boots or anything like that. But our comb.
Wait, was, you had like a communal comb?
Yeah, we just took one comb. Our comb was named Verna because that was the lady who cut our hair when we were little.
Oh, my word.
And so we would just be standing there, you know, at camp. And a lot of times there'd be like other people there. And I'd be like, hey, Jess, can you hand me Verna? Like not even think about it. And I'm sure people thought that that was weird.
Well, it's nice that you weren't confined to just saying comb. Because, I mean, if other people understand what you're talking about, you're not necessarily confined to calling something just
what it is.
What it is. I mean, there's naming conventions like when you say, oh, hand me a Kleenex.
Yeah.
Well, Kleenex is a brand.
Yeah.
It's not the actual thing. So language and naming things is such a funny and interesting creative process to kind of investigate.
Yeah. One of my favorite things on the JMT that we had named was our tent and the tarp that went underneath it. So the tarp we named Sandy because it would always get sand on the bottom of it.
Yep.
And then the tent, as a pair, they were called Sandy and the Tent.
Gotcha.
And so we would sing like Benny and the Jets by Elton John, but like Sandy and the Tent. So we'd sing Sandy, Sandy.
See,
Sandy and the Tent.
See, and like you wouldn't be able to have those sort of silly moments had you not creatively named your tarp.
Right.
So it's just, again, naming is just such an interesting.
What's your car's name?
Geraldine the Mean Green Dragon.
See, that's extra.
It is very extra. And I named her Geraldine because it's after one of my favorite television show characters. And I like fantasy creatures.
Oh.
And it's green.
Yeah. It's fun.
It is fun.
My car's name is Gretchen.
That's right. Gretchen. And
Gretchen Cebu the Subaru.
Yeah, I was about to say, your Subaru is named a Cebu.
Yeah, that comes from VeggieTales, the song of the Cebu. Because when we were going shopping for my Subaru, my dad kept singing Cebu from that VeggieTales.
See, when we name things, we like also not only imbibe an identity, but also there tends to be meaning in what we name things. We often don't arbitrarily name. Typically, we don't arbitrarily name things.
Right. When I was naming my Subaru, I thought, what is the name of a girl who like is cool and likes the mountains?
She's crunchy.
Gretchen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, her name is Gretchen.
Yeah. But like I think about like in the beginning, you know, Adam goes through and like names all the animals.
Mm-hmm.
That's a creative act. He had to go through and figure out.
On maybe at like the first creative act of humanity.
That's true. Yeah.
And also I've used that example to talk about how we as humans are co-creators with God.
Because God created,
like God made the animals. Yeah. And then Adam named them. So we get invited into creation.
And of course, all the time humans are inventing new things. And so we're constantly naming all of this new stuff that we're making.
Ooh, that reminds me of, you know, I talked several podcasts ago about reading Project Hail Mary. I was obsessed with it.
Oh, yes.
And they find a new kind of like, it's basically a space virus.
Ooh.
And so they have to name it.
Well, and there was a whole naming convention that we tried to figure out with COVID-19.
Oh, yeah.
We name hurricanes. Like, we name them like people names.
Ooh, and so naming hurricanes would go against like the idea of naming something because of connection and empathy.
Yes.
Is she chewing something under my...
No, she's just... Pip is crawling underneath Joe's chair.
But I guess the hurricanes, we name them so that there's a sense of common... Like, everyone knows what you're talking about.
Yes.
That's partly why we name the sewing machines, too, so that they either need to be named or numbered. And names is more fun than numbers.
Yeah, because numbers feels kind of cold.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels better to have, like, names.
Yeah. And... naming, it's kind of one of the first things we see kids do, too. Like, when they're playing with dolls or imaginary friends or something, then they'll tell you what their names are.
Exactly.
Did you have imaginary friends?
I did not. I think I wanted one, but I think by the time...
You just never met one?
Like, I know that sounds really dumb, but, like, I would see it in shows, and I'm like, I want an imaginary friend, but... there wasn't a person there for me to connect to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never came across one.
I had two... I had two, and their names were Dee Dee and Dada. And Dee Dee was the boy, and Dada was the girl.
Gotcha.
Which is probably, like, surprise. I was gender subversive from the beginning, maybe.
Do you remember what they looked like?
I don't know that they had, like, a body in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
I should have asked Mooley since we were going to be talking about this. But I talked about them for a long time. And then I guess they just moved away or something. I don't know, but they just
went to go live on a farm.
No, where imaginary friends go to be happy.
Uh-huh. Tell me about Mooley. How did Mooley get her name?
It's not a fun story. It's just Jess and her friends were always putting Ooley at the end of everything. So they would just make up weird. They would just be like, Dooley, Tooley, Gooley, whatever.
Yeah.
And so then one time Jess called Mooley, Mooley. And then we never stopped.
It just kind of stuck. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's nicknames like that where they happen and then that's what it is.
Well, then we have Flat Mooley in the studio.
Yes. Who's our cardboard cutout?
Yeah.
Mooley.
Our cheerleader of Make Do.
Well, even here at Make Do, we, not just with our sewing machines, but we also named our little Zest, which is a little lemon that we put in all of our monthly donors' little boxes. Uh-huh.
We named the gnomes in the window Pretzel and Fritz.
Yeah. And we took care to name all of these things because... point of reference for how to approach something.
Okay. Well, that goes back to the hurricanes.
Yeah.
I think it also makes something like when you're telling a story. So in the nonprofit world, especially when we're doing fundraising, people will connect with what we are saying if we are telling the story of an actual person with an actual name. Mm-hmm. And so even in organizations where they have like anonymity and they're not using the real name of someone, they're still giving someone an actual name. They're not just calling it client A. You know, they're giving that person a real name because it invokes a sense of connection and empathy for that person's story.
Yeah, it gives a human connection, but it also makes it easier to communicate when we name something or, you know, when we're talking about a person.
Yeah. Well, we've named our itty bitties.
That's true.
Yeah. For like itty bitty playtime and itty bitty book club. So now that's like our itty bitty program, and we send out itty bitty emails. And
I mean, naming conventions are so important to branding, as well as to just trying to communicate to people what your brand is about. I mean, our name, Make Do, has so much meaning entwined into it, mm-hmm. so that when people ask, we're able to tell a story.
Sometimes I think that can be what feels overwhelming about choosing a name, whether it's for your kid or your dog. I had a hard time naming Pip. Like,
that's
I
true.
Knew I wanted it to be something connected to lemons because, or sewing or Make Do in some way, because I want her to be a studio dog. Mm-hmm. But I had no idea when I named Make Do all that would grow from it. And so part of it is that the name takes on its own entity. Like, it becomes its own thing, right? And
yes,
that's what we've been saying. And it grows. It gives your brand, in this case, a place to grow into and to find other ways of using the name. So you can't let it be overwhelmed at the beginning of picking the perfect thing.
Well, because we have such connection to names, sometimes we have like negative connections with certain mm-hmm. names. Like, Richard didn't like the name Madison.
Ooh.
Yes.
Did a Madison break his heart?
No. Madison was the name of one of his friend's little sisters. So okay. She was like annoying.
Yeah.
And so when he told me this later, he was like, yeah, when I met you, I was like, oh, this person's name is Madison. Mm-hmm. And it kind of... The name Madison is very popular for my generation. And so I think it tends to give off a vibe of like, yeah, you've probably met a Madison before in your life.
Right.
And you may have some typical stereotypes associated with that. And so sometimes when people first meet me, they have this idea in their head of what I'm like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually a little bit different than the person that I actually am.
Right. I had a hard time. I've usually always been the only Joe, at least the only girl Joe.
Yeah.
And when I went to Ireland, I played on an adult softball league while I was there, and there was 3 Joes on my team.
Oh, whoa.
And because Joanne or Josephine or like Joe is a much more popular name in Ireland than the UK, and so they would go by Joe, but they had a longer name.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wanted to say, but my name's just Joe. It's not longer.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
It's all it is. Two
I'm
letters.
I'm still the most unique. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, that's why we have all of these kids' names who are spelled in such various ways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poor kids.
Yeah. More power to you. Not our vibe.
Another thing about names that I think is cool is when it is alter ego.
Oh, yes. You brought up...
Beyonce has Sasha Fierce is her alter ego, but even yes. superheroes
yes.
have Clark Kent is Superman or whatever they
yeah.
have.
Well, they have their code name, which they get to pick. Usually it's emblematic of their powers or who they are. And there's something unique about getting to choose what you go by, because you're getting to like handcraft your identity and like distill it into this one label that you get to give to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's so unique specifically with superheroes, but you know, people who, when they grow up, they like nicknames or they go by something different, kind of getting to handcraft that. I like it.
Or if you go by a kid version of your name when you're younger, and then do you switch to an adult name? So like yeah. you were talking about your dad.
Yes. His name is Robert, but he's always gone by Rob.
Okay.
Like, as far as I know, he didn't go by Robbie as a kid, but he's always been Rob.
Sometimes I think that happens when you're a junior. And so then the dad is Robert. And so
yes.
then the kid becomes Bobby or
yes.
something, because they the dad is already Robert.
Well, my dad had a man in his life who was also Robert, but he went by Bob. So I think like kind of the reverse happened there.
And then you grow up and you decide, I'm ready to shed this kid version of my name.
And step into my adult name. Uh-huh. Richard has always gone by Richard. But that was because they had another Richard at their church. And, like, they were somehow able to differentiate. But my favorite shortening of his name is Chard. It's my favorite. It's just so unique.
Yeah.
I've never heard all of all the nicknames for Richard. I love that.
No.
But yeah, you know, I tried to go by Maddie for a little while because that was kind of, that was like, ooh, I can like shorten my name if I wanted to. And I like wrote that on all my sixth grade papers, but it just didn't stick.
No, I don't see you as a name that ends in a Y.
Yeah.
Or IE, however you decided to spell it.
Yeah.
If you want to shorten your name, you can go by Nugs. That's what Muley called Madison because one time Madison ordered chicken nuggets.
Yes. It's see, again, your family just loves to name things. But what I also really like about your family is that you name situations. So I want to go back to that.
Okay.
So
like our code words?
Like your code words. Or you gave me a code word.
Yes.
When we were hanging up Christmas decorations. Sparkle ball.
Well, yes. When I looked down at Madison's face and I said, maybe we should add another row of lights. And she was like, are you kidding me?
I said it with my face. Because I was just like, I will do what this lady tells me to do. But
usually,
I'm so, tired.
So most of the time, I feel like Madison and I are on the same page with what needs to happen at Make Do. Sometimes you maybe go along with what I want to do because I am the boss.
Yes.
But most of the time, I generally feel, even if you are just going along with me, you're doing a good job at making me think it's also what you want to do. So very rarely have you pushed back. Honestly, that may be the first time I've ever seen you be like, are you kidding me?
It was just very tiring. But what I like about that naming convention of naming situations or naming feelings is it allows us to communicate in a way that is easier, that's less inflammatory.
It's not personal.
Yeah.
Right. It becomes about the situation, not about the people in the situation.
Yes. So in particular, I think Muley had one for when y'all were being annoying.
Oh, yeah. We gave it to Muley, but she's never used it. She refuses. It makes her mad. Like, I think the name alone that we gave her, we knew would kind of make her mad.
Oh.
So when we're being annoying and too loud, because even as adults, sometimes we still act like we're 8 and 10.
Yes.
Her code word for us is sugar farts. She's maybe only said it once.
But even on, like, you talked about your trip on the John Muir Trail. Uh-huh. Y'all had to have a code word.
Our code word was secondhand smoke.
And why is that?
When you are annoyed by the behavior of someone else.
Exactly. Which makes sense, right? Yeah. And like you were saying before, it names the action. You're not necessarily calling out the person as the person.
Right. Like, and I'm not saying you are being annoying. I'm saying I am annoyed by this situation.
Yes.
Now, we did take it a step further because if someone called secondhand smoke on you, you had to wear a headband that said secondhand smoke on it in vinyl letters.
That made me spit out my tea. I forgot about that. So that there might have been a little shame involved.
Right. So, but you didn't have to wear it all day. I think you just had to wear it like half a day.
Yeah.
I had to wear it once. I don't remember why. I think Amy called secondhand smoke on me, but I don't remember why. Jess had to wear it because I called secondhand smoke on her because she told me that I was acting like Muley.
Oh.
And so I don't know why, but it just made me sad. And so I called secondhand smoke. She was just being mean. And so then when she was wearing the headband, she used it as like an excuse to keep being annoying.
Oh,
like I'm already
like I'm already
headband.
Got it, which is makes a case against the headband.
But those were the only two times that we said secondhand smoke, and it happened within the first 5 days of our trip. And then after that, we kind of found a new rhythm. But it gave it a place. It gave us a way to say, I'm irritated by this situation. I think it's your fault, but I also acknowledge I am in an irritable.
Yes.
I'm like prone to irritability right now because what we're doing is really hard.
Yes.
And so it takes some of the pressure off. Just like Sparkle Ball for you gives you a way to say, that's enough, Joe.
Yeah.
Without maybe feeling like I'm going to fire you for falling asleep on the job.
Something like that.
But I don't think you've ever said Sparkleball to me.
No, perhaps in a joking manner.
We've joked about
it. But there have been some times where I was like, that's good.
If she says like, one more thing, I'm going to Sparkleball this situation.
Yeah. I mean, even without Sparkleball, it's given me, like, just having that conversation has given me the freedom to say, Joe, I don't think we need to add anymore.
Yeah.
We're good here.
Yeah.
So that's why naming is so important with communication. It allows us to have an understanding, a foundation to be able to build.
I think it helps you pull out the different components of a situation to see what is making it. So, like, let's talk about work because you and I are both here. So with Sparkleball, I have a tendency to always keep going, like always be over the top. Let's do more. Anything we do has to be like the biggest and the best that it can be.
Yes.
I need reined in.
Yes.
So if you were to just say, Joe, that's too much, what I could easily hear in that situation is I'm too much, or I'm, you know, I could just take it personally in a way that you're not meaning.
Yeah.
Like my approach is not sustainable. And so I need someone to help me like pull it back.
Exactly.
And it goes both ways.
Oh yeah. Joe has come in and been like, you've been working on this for an hour.
Do you really think the kids can do this in 30 minutes?
And the answer is no.
Yeah.
So we both need reined in different ways, but having that name allows us to communicate in a way that again is just less harmful. It's less, it feels less personal, like you were saying.
It's personal because it involves people.
Yes.
But it is,
you're not calling me out for being dumb for working on this for an hour. You're just asking me, hey, Madison, step back and think about this for a second.
Sometimes we get too in the weeds of what we're doing in the moment and we need to be able to zoom out. And yeah, that's what the code word does. It kind of helps us zoom out.
It makes me think about when I have a lot of anxiety and Richard's like, well, just stop worrying about it.
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't help.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas as we've had more conversations, he's learned to say, okay, what are you worried about? What can you do about it right now? What are things that we can do about it together? And then kind of going through it piece by piece.
Yeah.
And that leads me into the other thing about naming is naming your fears.
Mm.
I've done this with my therapist and I recently heard a really good sermon on this of like being, if you can get down to like the very basis of what you are afraid of or concerned about and naming that, it allows you to then almost get a sort of like tangible grip on it when you're trying to.
You mean like naming what it actually is? So like if, for example, I'm scared of spiders, then is it naming, you know what? No, I'm scared of spiders. Or is it naming my fear Gwendolyn? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's not naming your fear a name.
Okay.
But just being able to
Pinpoint it.
Yes.
Okay. Maybe I'll just start. Never mind. Yeah, also, I don't know why it's Gwendolyn.
All your fears are, that's great. But like for me, when I have a lot of anxiety, sometimes it can be hard to figure out what exactly it is that's going on.
Mm.
So if I try to do some self-exploration and I'm able to figure out, all right, why am I so worried? Why do I say yes to people all the time? Why am I so anxious about that and so tired? And I kind of go deeper until I get to the point of, I am afraid that no one will love me and I will be alone.
Mm.
That allows me then to be able, now that I've named that fear, it allows me to compare that name or compare that pinpoint to a situation where I'm like, if I say no to this friend, are they still going to be my friend?
I think you could give that fear an actual name.
Oh, yeah.
It could be Snape.
There you go.
Poor Professor Snape.
Yeah. I mean, you can even name your anxiety, right?
Yeah, because then you could be like, oh, that's just Snape. This is just Snape that's coming up. This isn't real. He's fictional.
Exactly. So I guess what I'm saying is, I guess you could do both. You both pinpoint your fear, and you could also then name it so you can be like, oh, you know, Gwendolyn's coming back up in my head.
Yeah.
I need to just not listen to her.
Yeah.
Sometimes that helps.
Yeah.
So
That made me think of something, but it went out of my head.
you know, J.K. Rowling is one of my favorite authors who, like, the way that she names things.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Just the way that, because she knows a few different languages, mm-hmm. and she obviously uses a lot of Latin, but, like, all the names have meaning, and so, like, you bringing up Snape just made me think mm-hmm. of all of, like, you know, Rubius Hagrid and all that.
Well, and his name being Severus Snape, like, Severus sounds, like, severe, but also, like, severed, like...
Yes. Cut off.
He's really intense, but yeah, also kind of isolated.
Yeah.
Yeah, names are important. It makes you think about, is it Shakespeare? You know, if a rose went by any other name, would it smell as sweet?
Yeah.
And I think it would just be whatever name it was would take on the characteristics of that name.
Sure.
Like we were saying with McDo.
Or with... You know, with people. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why we build such connotations with names, because over time we get to know people or things that are named such a thing, and you kind of build up this idea in your head of what that person mm-hmm. is like.
Yeah. Okay, so we've been talking about, like, yes. naming alter egos.
Oh, yes.
Do you have a name for your creative self? I don't.
I've been thinking about this. I don't currently have one, but I name a lot of the things that are present in my sewing room, and they all have meaning behind them.
Oh, what do you have named in your sewing room?
So Bernadette is my Bernina sewing machine, okay. but that's just for alliteration. Yeah. And also, Bernadette kind of sounds vintagey, and
yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bernie for short. But Mini-Me is what I've named my mannequin. But
wait, I thought your mannequin was named Minerva.
Exactly. Because that's what I call her, Mini for short, but it also means like a mini me, like another me. And Minerva was the Greek goddess of, like, she like did, I think it was like the Roman name for Athena. And Athena was like the goddess of weaving and handicrafts, as well as war and strategy. Powerful woman, but also was creative in many different ways.
Okay.
Oh yeah. Layers, my friend.
Layers.
Yeah.
That's advanced naming, y'all. If you're new to naming, you don't have to start there.
No. It can just be alliteration, like Bernie is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all good.
So you have Bernie and
yes,
Mini-Me.
And Mini-Me in my sewing room. That's all I have named so far. I really am growing attached to my scissors, so they may need a name here soon.
Yes. I'm trying to think at my house, because it's just me that lives there, so I'm not referring to things in my house.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think anything has a name, at least not that I have stuck with.
Yeah.
But for sure, if someone else was living there with me, things would have names.
So you could like point to all the...
Oh yeah, my new rug probably needs a name, because she is magnificent.
She is large and in charge.
Mm-hmm.
She takes control of that room.
We call her Lizzo.
Yeah. There you go. Your rug's name is Lizzo. Uh-huh. Done. Well, that could be an interesting... exercise for us and for the people at home, is like maybe finding a name for your creative self, finding that persona, putting that on.
That feels like a lot of pressure.
Well, it can change, right?
You know how I like to get it right, though.
Well, we don't have to do it on the podcast, but I'm saying, and it's also a challenge for the people at home. What would your creative person be when you're in the depths of making that perfectly crafted spreadsheet, or like that excellent dessert, you know?
Yeah, I think that my creative name needs to be something with Roy G. Biv in it.
What, like, because of all of those letters?
Yeah, just because I love color so much. I've been really obsessed with it lately.
I mean, like, more so than usual.
Like, I haven't painted my nails a single color in several weeks.
You just want them all on your fingers.
Like,
at
I just
want to
play with all the color combinations. Mm-hmm. I don't know what has got. Oh, I do know what has gotten me on the kick. When I started designing some murals.
Oh yeah,
and just playing
with color.
You know, yeah, I painted my house and my new rug and all of it. It just is like, I can't get enough of it. I just want to eat it.
Yeah.
I think that's part of why I had bought all those Sour Patch Kids.
Was you liked the different colors?
I just need to eat some color.
Hey, Van Gogh had the same idea.
Did he eat paint?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I mean, that was also kind of part of his mental illness. I cannot recommend that. Do not go and eat paint. But he felt
it's safer now. Just eat the kid kind.
Yeah, just eat the kid kind. He ate yellow paint because he wanted to feel happy.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. If you haven't, like, Wikipedia'd Van Gogh in a while, go and Wikipedia him. He's got a heart-wrenching story, but... He was a man who was really interested in color and putting unexpected color in places that you wouldn't expect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so exciting. Okay. Before, all right, do you have anything else to say about names? If so,
I
say it now.
I was about to say, if we're going to move on, I would just say for like the people at home, just have some fun and name your creative self, even if it's Sasha Fierce, you know,
or name like weird things in your house that your family uses a lot.
Yeah, it could be fun. It's just kind of a creative exercise, if you will. Explore some different labels as well. You know, at this point, I do consider myself a creator.
Okay.
So, like, when I talk about myself with other people, I may say, well, you know, I'm a creator. I make certain things. I do this, this, and this.
You know, that is an interesting one because a lot of times when people ask, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
Answer in the form of a label.
Yes.
I am a teacher. I'm an accountant. Mm-hmm. We like make it be who we are, not what we do. So we're already taking that on as identity.
Yes.
And that's always been a weird conversation for me to answer. Like, I guess the short way to say it is I'm a small business owner or, I'm the founder of a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can say that, but people don't really know how to connect with that.
And that's not all you can say that, but nonprofits and small businesses, they can be anything.
Right. And the type of nonprofit Make Do does is very different than the type of nonprofit that 100 Families is, or Mission Machine, or, you know, people that are in more of a traditional nonprofit space. So I like that.
Well, and I'm not saying that you can, I'm saying that you can try on these labels for things that are not necessarily your job.
Right. But I think we don't, most of us have not ever had to, if you have a traditional type job,
yes,
then you've always had an answer to that question and you mm-hmm. maybe haven't even thought about
the
labels.
Other things that you do. Maybe yeah. you like to bake, so you consider yourself a baker.
And at what point like can you call yourself a quilter?
Oh, if you have that question, y'all should go back to our imposter syndrome.
Ooh, did podcast. We talk about it then?
I think so.
I know we have talked about it before,
yeah.
But you know, so we've already mentioned it here, so I'll say it again. My sisters and I hiked the John Muir Trail several years ago, and it was about 230 miles. It took us 21 days.
Mm.
So at what point do you call yourself a backpacker?
Yeah.
And, like, do you have to do a trip? Do you have to go out into the backcountry for 3 weeks and not take a shower to mm-hmm. call yourself a backpacker? No. Like, you can be a weekend warrior backpacker yeah. who is going out, you know, fair weather weekends and still call yourself that.
Absolutely.
Or like, I haven't been backpacking in probably 3 or 4 years. And so I look at my gear and I'm like, can I even still call myself a backpacker or a hiker? Do I even want to?
Yeah. Is that still something that's part of your identity?
Right.
Yeah. So I just wrote down some different labels that you might call yourself. It's specifically in the creative world.
Okay.
So I was like, you know, explore different labels like creator, artist, crafter, or my new favorite, aesthetic engineer.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. I'm feeling that one.
I think people have a hard time with artist.
Yes, which we've talked about in our identity and our imposter uh-huh. syndrome. So you can go back with that.
I think that I tend to use the label creative. Like, mm-hmm. I am a creative.
Yes.
Yeah. Because creator, well, maybe content creator specifically, mm-hmm. has a whole social media vibe.
Yep.
But I would say that I'm a creative, or I do say I've always identified with my creativity.
Yes.
Because I don't want people to, because we think everyone is creative, right?
Yes. They all have it.
Yes. It's just, are you acknowledging that you have it or not? And so the words that we use are important because it also is portraying to somebody else how they're going to think about themselves.
Exactly. Which you may present someone with a new way of looking at yourself mm-hmm. that they had never considered before. Mm-hmm. So I like that. So yeah, just explore some labels, maybe name your creative self, name something funny in your, you know, in your house, and just take some time to consider, you know, how you name things, why you name things.
Yeah.
It may give you insight.
You know, there's also things we name as a culture, like we call the toilet the John.
Oh, yes.
You know, some stuff like that.
Yeah. I need to find out the background between, like, why coffee is called a hot cup of Joe.
When I worked at Starbucks
on the
drive-thru.
Oh.
When someone would pull up to the drive-thru, you know, you'd say, "Thank you for choosing Starbucks. I'm Joe. What can I get for you this morning?" And then it was always a man. A woman never made this joke to me. They would be like, "I'll have a hot cup of Joe," or something.
Yeah.
Gross. And yeah. So then I would always say, like, that's not for sale by the cup. Or something. It just would make me so agitated. Just tell me what you want.
Yes.
Not in a what you really, really want kind of way. No. Like, just give me your order.
Yeah. People are there to do a job.
Right. So frustrating.
Be concise.
All
right. That's all I have to say about names.
Okay, how long have we been going?
41 minutes.
Okay, good. We can chat a while.
Yeah.
Do y'all mind? Do y'all mind if we just chat a while?
It's summer. There's a lot of things that we've been wanting to share with each other. We've been busy.
We were talking while I was making my coffee, and I said, wait a minute, maybe we should just talk about this on the podcast. We really haven't had very much conversation.
No. It's been busy.
You were saying that you've got your sojo back.
I do have my sojo back. Joe, let me tell you. Richard told me, he's like, "I need more polos." And I thought, are there polo sewing patterns out there? And yes, there are. There are many. I found a good one. And I like knocked up an excellent.
Don't say knocked up.
Knocked together. Put together, sewed together. A polo, like probably in like 4 hours.
Oh, I would say knocked out.
Knocked out.
A polo in 4 hours.
And it looks so good. And I chose fabrics that he would enjoy.
What? So is it, are you using a knit fabric?
I sure am.
Okay.
So I'm getting more used to using my serger. And it looks good. Like, it looks like he went and bought it somewhere. Because I also chose more muted fabrics. Normally when I make things on my own, I get to choose all the color that I want.
You make like a toucan shirt something.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. This one was like a nice, now it still was houndstooth, but it was all like black or in burgundy and gray, and it had like a nice black collar with it, and it fit him super well, and it was super fun to put together, and I was like, now I just need to sew everything. So I've got it back.
So you've got it back.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy sewing for Richard?
I think I'm getting there.
Okay.
Because I needed to find ways to make things that he would enjoy wearing.
Right. So and that you would like making too.
Yeah. Because I'm not going to sit there and make him a t-shirt.
Right.
He can go and buy that. That's not fun for me.
Yeah.
But I got to learn something new.
How was sewing the collar with knit?
Just using an interfacing, which is just, it's a kind of fabric that you just like kind of
it stabilizes it.
Yeah. Keeps it from stretching out too much. It really wasn't that bad. It didn't even have, like on the back, there's usually like, well, not always, but you have to like top stitch it down.
Yeah.
But it was pretty good.
Oh.
Yeah. And the buttonholes were easy, and yeah, I like it. It still looks a little vintagey, which is what I wanted, but.
Well, perfect.
Wearable.
Last night was open studio, and I got a quilt top sewn together, like one that was in pieces.
Yeah.
But
which one was it?
That one on the ironing board.
Oh, gotcha.
It's the intermediate. Hey, do y'all like that one? Can you see it? That one on the ironing board.
It's real cool.
It was one I had done in. It used to be a beginner class, but now we've changed the beginner class, and it just had not ever been finished. The blocks were sewn together, but the rows weren't. And so I just sewed the rows together, and I worked a little more on my dress, my muslin that I'm making for as a dress.
Yes.
I did like one thing on it.
Oh.
And then it was going to require the serger, and I didn't want to get it out.
Pull that out.
I stopped. But
gotcha.
Bodice of that dress is almost made, and then I can do the skirt.
Yes. I'm so excited to see it come together because this is going to be, I mean, Joe wears bold patterns like as pants, but this is going to be an all over bold pattern and I'm ready to see it on her.
Yeah. So we'll see.
It'll be cool. There's some other things that I've been learning lately.
Oh, besides sewing, you mean?
Yes. Besides
more things. The first thing was sewing with a knit.
Yes.
Okay.
I am learning how to put a light box junction or light junction box in my house. Because they just cut a hole in my wall and shoved wires through.
This is over the vanity, right?
Yes. So
over your sink.
While I was on break, I was feeling very anxious. And so I thought, what is something I can control? Oh, I'm going to install a light fixture. Well, I took it down and they didn't, I mean, people normally don't, but they didn't paint underneath the the light fixture and my base is smaller. And I was like, ugh. Well, I wanted to paint this bathroom anyway. So on my week off, I decided to go and buy paint and start painting my bathroom. Yep, and so
this is if you give a mouse a cookie, for sure.
Let me tell you, I told my dad this and he goes, well, yeah, it, you know, house DIY can get real addictive. And I was like, yeah, you think? It just like snowballed.
Uh-huh.
So I'm glad that my bathroom is painted now. But now I'm actually setting out to do the thing that I was going to do like 3 weeks ago.
Right.
But I am a little nervous to cut into my drywall, but I've been assured by many a people that it will probably be okay to cut into my drywall.
Yes. So
I'm going to go forth with confidence.
So it's a little hole right now?
Right now it's a very, very small hole.
Oh, so you can't even like put your fingers.
I can probably put my fingers in, and I have just to kind of feel around. And so far I haven't felt anything. Yeah. But yeah.
You are probably fine. Yes. I say that as someone who knocked down a wall.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if worse comes to worse, I could hire someone to come and do it.
We know someone.
That's true. So, yeah, I'm just feeling more confident. When I called my dad about it, he goes, oh, so you're becoming an electrician. I was like, well, it seems simple enough. Cut hole in wall, put box in hole.
Right. You're not actually doing...
I'm not doing any wiring.
No. You're not, like, adding anything that's not already there wire-wise.
No.
Wire-wise.
Wire-wise. So I'm feeling pretty proud about that.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I remember, like, when I hung my fan, mm-hmm. I felt real good.
Yeah.
Obviously, cutting a hole in my wall.
There's a giant hole, like, taking down most of your wall.
There's been several things that have made me feel like, yeah.
Let me tell you, using a power tool or even just a sharp saw can make you feel like you're doing things.
Yeah. It can. Well, you know, they say the sewing machine is a gateway tool.
That's what I tell my boys when they first come into sewing class. I'm like, this is a power tool.
It's the first power tool, technically.
This is true.
Because when I know this because when I taught the men's sewing class, I just wanted to make sure that I was, you know, being accurate.
Mm-hmm.
And the sewing machine, what was the actual first power tool? Or the actual first one was the sewing machine. It was invented before what we would consider as a power tool. Yeah, I don't remember if it was like an electric screwdriver or like a sander. I don't remember mm-hmm. what the, you know, the other first tool was.
But yeah,
the sewing machine was made before that.
Yep.
And at that point, it was men who were sewing, not women.
This is true. That's why there was a distinction between tailors and dressmakers, mm-hmm. and most tailors were men.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Anything else exciting?
Well, I mean, we're
learning. I'm learning how to call my senators.
Tell me about that.
So there's some exciting common sense gun legislation not legislation yet. It's a framework that is bipartisan, which means Democrats and Republicans both support it, When's the last time that has happened? And so, well, right after the shooting in Uvalde, I called all of our representatives, but just once, to say, come on, please do something about this. And, but now there's like actual bipartisan answers, like something that has support that can actually happen. So I've been calling them every day.
What's it like to call a senator?
Nerve-wracking.
What?
So here's what I've done to help. Well, first of all, being on social media and seeing a lot of other, primarily women, say, I'm doing this, I'm calling, I'm doing this, is encouraging because it makes you feel like, oh, okay, they're normal. I'm normal. Like, I can do this. So the first thing I did was save the contacts in my phone.
Okay.
We will put a link in the show notes for where you can find your senator's number if you don't already know it.
How convenient.
Or where to see it. So I will drop that in the show notes so you can go click on the show notes and then you can search it alphabetically and find your state. So I saved their contacts as contacts in my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the notes for the contact, I put my script for what I was going to say. So the gist of, here's basically what I say, not looking at my script. I say, hi, My name is Joe Ellis. I'm a constituent from Searcy. My zip code is 72143. Honestly, I don't know if they care, but I give that to them anyway. Okay. And I say, I'm calling today to encourage Senator Bozeman to join the 10 other Republicans who have already given their support for the bipartisan gun reform framework that was led by Senators Cornyn and Murphy over the weekend.
Okay.
And then I will say something like, this is a really important issue to me, and I hope that they can get this new framework passed before they go on break on June 24th. Got or so they're taking a break on June 24th. So the goal is that they can vote on it by then. And then I say, thank you. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay.
Oh, talk to you tomorrow. So, I have said that on the voicemail. So yesterday I got two voicemails because I called before. When you look up your senator's number, they're going to have the DC office, and then you'll have several local offices within your state. Mm. And so my understanding is that all of the messages get sent up to the DC office anyway. Mm-hmm. And so I have just been calling the DC office.
Okay.
And they open at 9 o'clock DC time. So if you call before 8, our time, we're central. So if you call before 8, you're going to get the voicemail.
Okay.
So today I talked to an actual person in one of my senator's offices, and he just answered the phone. Ugh. And by the way, if you saw our stories, you already heard this, but just so you know that I was really awkward on the phone. I called them, and then I was trying to get back to my script so that I knew what to say.
Yeah.
And then when I did that, I called them again. So put them on hold, started calling my senator again. And I was like, crap. So I'm trying to hang up. And then hello? Hello? Are you still there? And the guy was like, hello.
Oh.
I said, I'm sorry. Somehow I was put you on hold and I was calling you again. And I don't know what happened. And he goes, weird. I said, yeah. Anyway, the reason I'm calling, and yes. I just went into it. And then I just ramble. And then he says, okay, I'll pass along the message. And then I said, okay, thank you.
So that's all it is.
And that's it. It takes 45 seconds. That's including the time for the phone to ring.
Okay.
So I actually talked to a person. And when I had called a couple weeks ago, I asked him, I maybe talked to the same guy. I said, is it helpful if I call the local offices as well? Mm-hmm. And he said, well, it all comes to us anyway, so you can if you want, but it doesn't matter. And I said, okay, is it helpful if I also send an email? And basically he was like, you can if you want, but it doesn't matter. So right now I'm just calling every day until June 24th.
Gotcha. Hence why you said, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Gotcha. I've been saying that on the voicemail because one of the voicemails says, leave your number and we'll call you back. And so then I will say, I don't need you to call me back. I'll call again tomorrow.
Yes. Okay. Got it. So if there's an issue that's really important to you, then that's the procedure for calling a senator. Yes.
And sometimes there will be a particular bill number that you want them to vote on.
Okay.
But in this case, there is no, it's not written legislation yet. Mm-hmm. It's just an agreement.
Okay.
Or I think they call it a framework. I don't know.
That was really useful. Awesome.
So I will also link in the show notes. I'll see if I can link to a particular Instagram post. I'm not sure, but I know I can at least link to Sharon Says So.
Mm-hmm.
Her Instagram account. She has a whole script too for how you can call your senators.
Excellent.
But what I'm learning is, one, how to do it, how to take my opinions and actually make them more than just words, action, I guess.
Yeah.
So I can be mad about something all I want.
But now you have the ability to
now
be able to
I can
something.
Put at least put some action behind that. And then I can't be mad about something if I'm not going to do something about it.
Man.
So that's what I've been learning.
Very
how
cool.
to call my reps. And so then if this particular bill passes the Senate, mm-hmm. it will go to the House of Representatives. And so then my representative will be getting a call.
Mm-hmm. Every day. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that.
And by then it will have a bill number.
Yes.
So
sweet. I dig it.
All right.
My sour? My sour is I'm painting a mural in the bathroom. I'm doing a second coat on our mural that's in there.
Yes.
Painting on cinder block sucks.
I know.
Like all the little dimples. So if for whatever reason, if you ever get in the situation to paint a mural on cinder block, be aware that's in your future.
Yes. Ugh. Also, you can't use tape because it'll
just bleed through all those little dimples. Yeah. So you just have to be precise.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm doing. Being precise, taking it slow.
But it looks great. I can't wait for it to be done.
Me too.
I didn't write down a sour, so I'll just go to my default sour for all of summer, and that is the weather.
It is hot.
It is very hot and very humid. Ooh, I know what our sour is. Oh. It's connected to that.
Okay.
Our air conditioner went out. It's all fixed now, so I guess it's an old sour.
Well, I could say it was my sour for this past week because I had to do a birthday party in that room.
You had to be in that room all day because you also had story time in the morning.
Yep. I did come back into this side when I could, but like it was hot.
I walked in before maybe like 15 minutes before itty bitty playtime started on Friday. I walked in to turn the light on in the bathroom because it can be hard to find. And I stepped into a huge puddle. And it was our air conditioner was frozen. And so it was like starting to defrost on the inside and
it was melting. Yeah.
So we had to turn it. I mean, it wasn't working. So we had to turn it off, let it all defrost. They didn't come and fix it Saturday. They couldn't get here, but they did come fix it on Sunday. So it was better by our class times yesterday. But man, thank
goodness.
It just now smells kind of weird in there.
Yeah.
Like hot damp.
Hot damp.
Yeah. That was damp with a P.
Yes.
Hot damp.
I love that. All right. Here's my sweet. I was on Facebook Marketplace and I found a 1950s bedspread. I love it. It is baby blue, so it like brings out my eyes and whatnot.
Yeah.
So I'm really feeling it. But I've seen these robes online where they take chenille bedspreads and they turn them into these like big kind of fluffy robes.
Uh-huh.
Fran from The Nanny was like famous for having like these big, like, fluffy robes. But the particular people who make them, which I wanted to support them, the robes are very expensive. They're like $300 to $500. Uh-huh. And I thought, I can't afford that.
Right.
But I did find a $10 1950s bedspread. And the lady was like, I'm just really looking for someone who will appreciate it. And I said, I am the one. Yes. Today is the day, and I am the one.
And I will appreciate it.
I will totally appreciate this. And it was, like, in really good shape, too.
So is it chenille?
Yes. So chenille, if you own a chenille sweater, it's different than the chenille that I'm talking about. So the chenille you get in the store today is, like, a velvety yarn, uh-huh. whereas the chenille bedspreads are, like, a tufted cotton thread. So okay. Basically, it's like it has short fringe all over it. It looks kind of lined, like it has this ribbed sort of texture.
Well, like a chenille couch? Like chenille upholstery?
Possibly.
Okay.
I will have to, I'm not positive. I'm learning about upholstery fabric, so I'm not sure. But this one is specifically made out of cotton. It's a cotton sheeting that has tufts of cotton yarn that make up the sort of fuzzy design that's on it.
Yeah.
So it's really cool. I was excited.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
My sweet is that tomorrow.
Yes.
At the time of recording will be Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
Chopping off my hair.
Wait, I thought you were growing out your hair.
Oh.
What happened? What changed?
It's hot. And I don't like it.
You're not feeling your shoulder length hair anymore?
No, it's too hot. It's too hot.
Okay.
Maybe if it was winter, I would be like, oh yeah, I can do this, but I cannot have it down. And so then it's just pulled up in
something
messy bun.
Yeah.
And I hate washing it because it gets everywhere. You know, it takes forever. And then I have hot, either I have to blow dry it and that makes me hot, or I have hot, wet hair sticking to my neck. I just can't do it.
Well, how exciting.
I know.
Fresh new haircut.
I'm so excited.
And I forgot what I was going to add about that. Oh, I think for a while I was having to justify why I wanted to cut it. Because like you said, yeah. I had said I was going to grow it. And I've always been saying, when people ask me if I'm growing my hair out, I would say, well, for now. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never been like, oh, yeah, I'm going to let it get long.
And then keep it that way.
Right. And originally, when I decided to grow it out, I said, okay, I'm going to grow it at least through Christmas. And I did that. Mm-hmm. And beyond. And I can get it all up into a ponytail now. And I kind of wanted to get to that point. And what I'm seeing is I don't like it in a ponytail. I'd rather it be short and a little bit funky.
That's awesome. You tried something new. Mm-hmm. You allowed yourself to the decision to like change if you wanted to. And you've now made the decision that, hey, I don't like my hair long. I'm going back to what I liked.
And we were talking about labels and identity earlier. Mm-hmm. And I think I am just a short hair person. And, you know, people would comment, like, in our Insta stories, oh, I'm loving your hair long. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, I mean, that's nice to hear, but also sometimes I was like, but I don't know. Yeah. And, like, does that mean that you didn't like it short? Which, no, I'm not. If you have commented on that in my Insta story, it just is the kind of where your brain goes, you know? Like, well, if they're saying they like it like this, does that mean they didn't like it like that? So do they not like the me that feels like the most me, which is just a weird spiral of assumptions that are not based in anything. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm definitely a short hair person.
Well, my normal hair cycle is cut it once, let it grow out for 2 years, and then I go and donate my hair. Uh-huh. I can't do that now that I have bleached hair. And so I just went and got like, you know, like 2 or 3 inches chopped off. And I'm starting to realize that I enjoy having shoulder length hair. And both my husband, his mom, other people are like, oh, I love your hair when it's long. And I was like, yeah, but I have to live with it.
Right.
And for me, it fits a lot more with my aesthetic.
Yeah.
So I'm planning on.
And it's easier to change too. Like if you want to put a new color in it or you want to, you know, it's
I'm not
a
having
lot
to go through all of the strands of long hair. I had lice before I worked here at Make Do, and I had my hair at the longest it had ever been. It almost like touched my backside, and I got lice, and Richard had to sit in the bathroom for like 2 hours and comb through every long strand to get the lice out. And I thought, this is just not good. If I'm going to work with children, I got to cut this hair.
I've had long, I donated mine 3 times, but the last time I did it was probably like, I don't know, in my 20s, before I went to Ireland, probably like right before I went to Ireland. But now I just can't get it that long anymore. And I'm older too. And I think why? I don't know. And when I say I'm a short hair person, I don't know. That's not a judgment on what I think looks better on me. It's not about like the looks of it at all, because maybe longer hair would be more flattering. Blech. Who cares?
Yeah. Well, it's like what we try to share with people when they're in the quilting class or trying to pick something. Pick what you like.
Yeah.
Don't necessarily think about what, quote, looks the best.
No. And pick what, like, I just feel like myself with short hair, and I don't owe it. The thing that is the most me is not, may not necessarily be the thing that makes me the most flattering or the most beautiful or the most like socially palatable. And I don't owe that to anyone. I don't owe my beauty to anyone.
I think that extends into house DIYs and other things because sometimes people get caught up in what looks the best in their house. And some people don't have an identity, so they don't of their house, so they don't really care. But there's a recent trend called maximalism. I mean,
it's coming back.
It's coming back. It's always been around, but people are decorating with things that they like and the things that they've collected and the things that mean something to them. And I think that's how people should always surround themselves with is things that you like, things that aren't necessarily that like, oh, this is gonna look the prettiest or aesthetic. Just pick the stuff that you like and surround yourself with that. Mm-hmm. Why deprive yourself of a nice environment?
Right, to fit into a trend or something that people will like. So anyway, that is my sweet. I'm so excited to get my hair cut, to feel my neck again, to like feel the breeze on my neck, to not have hair like falling out everywhere. Ugh.
Yeah.
for it to not take me 20 minutes to wash my hair in the shower because so much is falling out and I have to don't want to rinse it down the drain and all sorts.
Yeah.
Very excited.
Awesome.
So.
That sums it up for us, I think.
What's in a name? Oh, I was thinking. B-I-N-G-O and Bingo was his name. Oh, how do we make that a song to encourage the people?
Do we have to?
Nope. What's in a name? It's a dog's name. Blah, 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 blah. Now we're just avoiding work. By we, I mean me. So I guess we'll stop it here and yes. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you to my dear, dear friend Craig Hudson for our very createful theme music. You can hear more of Craig's music on Spotify under Craig Hudson, that's Hudson with a T, or you can just click on the link in the show notes. Also, be sure to connect with Make Do on Instagram at Make Do Create or on Facebook at Make Do Cersei, and visit our website, makedocreate.org, for upcoming classes, show notes, to order a face mask, lots of things. We'll be back here with another episode next Monday. Have a good week, y'all.